Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And good afternoon. Welcome into our Straight Talk program for this Tuesday. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, here with Founders. Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. By Good Pharmacy with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And our friends at Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Dr. Vansant Patel, a cardiologist with Carolina Cardiology Associates, an organization I'm more than familiar with, is our guest today as we continue Heart Month. It is American Heart Month. And Dr. Patel, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Well, it's great to have you. For those who don't know, maybe tell us a little bit about Dr. Patel.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. I'm Dr. Vansant Patel. I'm with Carolina Cardiology Associates. I joined this community and our practice in year 2001, and since been here, growing the cardiovascular services at Piedmont Medical Center as well as Carolina Cardiology Associates. It's been a great journey. My family lives here in Rock Hill. My kids were born at Piedmont Medical Center. They've grown up, gone to college, so it's been a great, great journey here professionally and personally, and happy to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about American Heart Month. How did this come about?
Yeah, so I think, heart awareness is year-round. Our heart beats every moment. And so we live with those concepts. But to increase awareness of our own existence and our care, we often allocate some months as a recognition months. And American Heart Association did proactively do something like this so that we can increase conversations about how we improve ourselves individually as well as a community. And I think that's why the Heart Month is here.
Is that the focus of it?
Yes. I think the focus is increasing awareness, just like we do breast cancer, and other things. I think having conversations, because of the month exists, is the reason why you and I are sitting here having a conversation, so we can talk about it, we can sort of educate, and maybe two things I might say today might help few other folks to introspect or improve things or reflect on things.
Is it ever too late to start doing the right things as far as preventative? People that have had habits such as smoking, just for example. Obviously it's never too late to stop.
Yeah.
But can the effects of a lifetime of that be offset?
Yes, a great question. I think there is a saying, better late than never.
Right.
So I think when you put that perspective in place, just the mentions of what you just said with smoking. Focusing on heart. Every day we practice. Somewhere around two-thirds of the patients who come in with massive heart attacks or acute, drastic clinical events that we show up in the emergency room, two-thirds of them are generally active smokers, and the majority of them are less than 55 years of age. And so when you take that risk factor, because smoking increases clotting risks and clotting in blood vessels, which is what causes massive heart attacks, and you could be feeling great, and then, half an hour later, you're sweaty and writhing in pain and you're showing up with a heart attack because blood clot occurred. It's not a cholesterol plaque. It's a blood clot that occurred in the blood vessel that we go in there and open. However, when you get rid of smoking, you are actually halting the progressive effects over time. So what damage is done, you can't undo, but you can certainly reduce the future risk again. So if you quit smoking, maybe 10 years from now, if you have been quiescent with that area, then your future risk of lung cancer would be reduced to near the same population who didn't smoke. Or for example, if your risk was 2 to 3 times higher of having a future heart attack after you got rid of cigarettes, your risk is lower, and it will be similar to someone who didn't smoke for all these 10 years. So there is never a bad time to do things. It's preventative care, whether it's diabetes, hypertension, or any other risk factors we want to talk about.
Well, speaking of risk factors, you mentioned diabetes and hypertension and high blood pressure, and the list is almost as long as my arm of all the things that can contribute to heart attack or stroke, if you will.
Yes, true. And I think let's just say a few things, right? I'll put things in perspective. In our world, we talk about quantity of life and quality of life. When I say quantity of life, it's the longevity of how long we live. You know, the good Lord has that final switch for that particular perspective. So the quantity of life, we all desire to be as long as it could be. And ultimately, the good Lord says when our day is done.
Right.
So putting things in perspective, we touch the quality of life, because if we focus on the quality of life, that is what we, you, me, and any of my patients or anybody has some control over, right? And so if you take the focus on quality of life, then the quantity of life may be extended, and we do that with technology nowadays. But I think, you know, before technology comes into play, we focus on preventative measures. So, for example, cholesterol. One of the biggest reasons why we have less people showing up with heart attacks at the hospital, or people are not having as many need, you know, over the last two decades, the need to put stents has reduced over time, because we have gotten, as a healthcare community and the patient's participation, very aggressive in our guidelines to treat cholesterol. You know, before we had cholesterol of 130, a bad cholesterol 130, we used to say do lifestyle modification, things of that sort. Now we are driving the guidelines where the bad cholesterol, we want to get to a 70, 50. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if we focus on doing that, the plaque progression in the heart arteries, the blockages in the heart arteries, they progress at a lower rate. So you're not just lowering the numbers, but you're changing the chemistry of the plaques in your blood vessels, so that these plaque ruptures don't happen that cause clotting in the bloodstream and that cause the heart attack. Or you don't need, you know, two stents or things that you would have had in the past that you don't need them, because you're actually avoided that. So it's one less heart attack you had. So cholesterol management over the last two decades has been one of the biggest reasons why we have less progression of heart disease over time. Similar things with diabetes. The pharmacologic innovations, the commitment to driving the hemoglobin A1Cs down to a very low number, even the patients getting committed for their management. I think we've seen, I've been here for almost, now I'd say 23 years, and I've seen in our community the commitment of our patients to be aware of wanting to know what their cholesterol is, how they're doing, and be proactive. Their family members, we have younger kids now growing up and having conversations with their parents and talking about living healthy. So it's a generation of change that we are seeing over time. So these risk factors are important, and they won't go away, but we got to focus on them, on how we can control them to avoid catastrophic outcomes, which we can talk about later, what we do for it. But right now, let's just live another healthy day without having to go to a hospital.
Yeah, and the first thing that they ask me when I come in, because I come see Dr. Singh every 6 months, you know, and Dr. Brendio, of course, now that there's a pacemaker in my life, the first question I'm asked is about my A1C. Right out of the gate. Hi, how you doing? How's your A1C? Do you know what it is? And I make a point now to know what it is. I don't know that I understand it, but I do know what it is, because I, you know, my regular doctor, you know, keeps me up on that sort of thing, and when it's where it should be, she's very happy.
Right.
When it's not.
I think this is the great thing. There is no great analogies, but if I can just put something, if I'm novice to, we just had Super Bowl this past weekend. If I'm novice to NFL, how football is played or how the game is, then if someone puts me in front of that TV, even though it's a gigantic event for world and us, for me, if I'm not aware of what the rules are, how to enjoy that game, or what the teams are, what the histories are, I would just be another stoic person watching something on the screen, not having the joy that other people do. But the moment I am more educated about football, NFL, the teams, the rules, then I can enjoy that game just like anybody else. Same is with our lives. the more I know about my health, the more I am in tune with my health, the more I know targets on what I need to do to be healthy, then you will enjoy that journey a lot more than just not being aware of it. So having physicians engage with their patients, educating them about what targets we should go, whether the cholesterol level should be this, hemoglobin level should be this, if you're checking your blood pressures, what should be the average blood pressures. So then the patients feel good that, hey, if I'm doing great, then I'm being rewarded when the results are coming. And that's the joy of existing and taking care of that journey.
You talked about cholesterol. That's a tough thing to control for some folks. I know it can be done, you know, through chemistry, so to speak. Better living through chemistry, as the old saying goes. But diet is important. Exercise, and simple as taking a walk, it's exercise, and it does you good, right?
Absolutely. The American Heart Association, since we're talking about Heart Month, the American Heart Association recommends 30 minutes, 5 days a week of walking. And if you can't do it 5 days, 30 minutes, do 40 minutes, 4 days a week. I mean, just try to get some activity done throughout the week. And if you can't walk outdoors in cold weather, you can always walk inside or go to the gym or go to the mall, but commit to your health. And then that, along combined with good diet, you know, patients ask, or family members, friends always ask, what's a good diet? Should I get on Mediterranean diet? Should I get on this diet? We've seen these journeys, and you know this as well. People get on diet, they get committed, they get psychologically motivated, and they eat less calories, they get onto a specific diet, and then they drop quite a bit of weight. But journey of life is long-term, and then once you sort of get to a certain stage of your weight and you're healthier, and then you start missing this food, you start missing that food, and then you get back on that, and soon you know, next 6 months, half of that weight has come back by just making the diet changes that you were missing. So the goal here is to pick, I say, everything in moderation is good. So if you eat things in moderation and eat certain things when you're out with family, but in moderation, you don't miss things. But controlling certain type of calories throughout the day. So if you go to a buffet, don't go for seconds or thirds if you don't have to. Enjoy that meal. Take longer time to enjoy what you got on your plate. That way you don't eat too much. Sometimes eating fast makes you eat more.
Yeah, that's true, because we live in a fast-paced world, in a fast-paced society, and everything is constantly on the go and that sort of thing, and you're right. With something like that, you should take the time to stop, slow down, and enjoy it, if you will, because that's what leads to everything else, the blood pressure, the cholesterol, the diabetes, everything. Talk to me about therapies for those people that have these conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think when we do our best with the preventative measures, and we can't succeed well, and, you know, as we get older, oftentimes we do our best controlling cholesterol, giving up smoking and all of that. But our bodies are just like anything else. As they get older, ailments are going to come despite our best efforts. Sometimes it's genetic, sometimes it's environmental, but things happen. We don't have control over it. And so when that happens, we have to be prepared to say, what else can we do? So with coronary artery disease, we historically control risk factors to reduce the chance of things happening. But then as we get older, when we get into our 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, we are going to have to face that despite our best efforts, heart disease will happen. Someday I am going to need a heart cath. I may need a stent. I will have a blockage. I may need a pacemaker if I have a rhythm problem. So these things do happen, but the technology and the growth of technology is as pivotal, so that we can offer things to not only increase the quantity of life, but to improve the quality of life. So we had heart bypasses, where we opened the chest when we had multiple blockages. Over the years, you know, in the early part of the 2000s, when stents came available, drug-eluting stents, we started doing multivessel stenting, and we reduced the need for bypasses quite a bit. And nowadays, even the stent utilization has gone down because of the technology of stent. So blockages, we can treat with stents. And rhythm problems, atrial fibrillation, which is becoming very common, irregular heart rhythm, people have to take blood thinners and a bunch of different chemicals, like you said, that feel making people feel tired and fatigued. So we have experts in the field of electrophysiology, like you mentioned, Dr. Brenio, my partner. He's a prolific electrophysiologist, does excellent work at Piedmont Medical Center and our practice. And you now have options of going and ablating a two-hour procedure that resets the circuit and puts you back into your own rhythm. We have technology where if the heart rate goes too slow, we can do a pacemaker, and the pacemaker has gotten smaller in size. Mm-hmm. You know, before the devices were very large and bulky, and now they're smaller and they have much better battery life, so you don't have to replace them too frequently. And then people with weakened heart function, heart failure, due to heart attacks or viruses or other things weaken your heart, and heart failure becomes a problem. And some of these patients are at higher risk of having sudden cardiac death. And we recognized that in the late 1990s as well as early 2000s. And therefore, defibrillator pacemaker therapy was approved in the mid-2000s. And we have been proactive in people with severe cardiomyopathy who are appropriate patients for defibrillator. We insert a defibrillator to prevent fatal heart rhythm-related deaths.
Right.
And we can get them shocked and get them help. So these are fundamental, very common things that we have been doing. But besides that, I think, you know, we have now technologies that when patients are living longer. I mean, reality is that technology and medications have allowed us to live longer. Average lifespan now is much longer than it was, you know, 50 years ago. And some of that is technology, even though our patients get older nowadays. If you recall, before, when you had severe valve narrowing like aortic stenosis, we used to have to open the chest and do a replacement of aortic valve, 5 days in the ICU, recovery, 6 weeks of recovery. Mm. And now, with technology advanced, we can do a valve replacement through a groin approach like a heart catheterization, where it takes half an hour to an hour, hour and a half. Patients stay overnight. Most of them are able to leave. We established this program at Piedmont Medical Center just last year, and we have done 30 patients here who were previously not a candidate, and we could do this to them. And we've had a great success rate. We have a very comprehensive heart team here, including surgeons and cardiologists, and my partners who identify good patients, candidates for this. And we do these treatment, and patients go home the next day majority of the time. And they have better outcomes. So they have now improved quality of life. But they have also, because they're not getting short of breath, and they're able to do a lot more things with their family. But in some ways, we also extended the quantity of life because now they can live longer without having heart failure. So those things, including Impella, which is for cardiogenic shock, we have done a lot of things at Piedmont Medical Center. You know, I must say this before I forget it, that when I came here in 2000, 2001, I always heard that, you know, I want to go somewhere in Charlotte because Piedmont Medical Center, they didn't have a good feel for it, or patients or family had a bad experiences. And I grew up in Texas. I went to a good institution. I trained at Texas Heart Institute and at Cleveland Clinic Foundation. Cleveland Clinic, for the last two decades plus, has been the number one heart center in the United States. It's ranked by U.S. News and World Report higher than Harvard or other places. They provide prolific cardiac care and train very good cardiologists. And when I decided to come here to Rock Hill in this community, you know, I was asked, why are you going to such a small community? And I said, I want to take Cleveland Clinic to Rock Hill. Yeah. I want to take my training and try to do something better. And over the years, we have done very well over time, to the point that now at Piedmont Medical Center, we offer almost every services short of heart transplant that Atrium or Novant offers at Charlotte, and our outcomes and other things at the Heart Center. And I must say, over the years, the administration at Piedmont Medical Center has also put in resources. We have a very nice CEO now who is also committed to expanding the cardio service lines and care. So we got a great administrator team at Piedmont, as well as my awesome talented partners at Carolina
yes.
Cardiology
no,
Associates.
No, you guys are the best. You are, as the kids say, the bomb.
Yes.
Yes, you are indeed.
So it's a great combination.
Dr. Vinzant Patel, a cardiologist, is with us today. He's our guest. We're going to take our mid-program break because we ran a little long here. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, where they make fresh subs and salads right before your eyes. A magical way they do it. You can get in on this too, Winthrop. is Slice, 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 Garden, Garden, Garden. Back after this.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Last year was a big year for Founders Federal Credit Union and our amazing members. A total of $30 million was given back to qualifying members in the form of loyalty bonus dividends, proving once again that it pays to be a Founders member. Founders is also committed to pouring time and resources into the local communities we serve. If you aren't a member yet, what are you waiting for? Join Founders today. Visit FoundersFCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry, because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Dr. Prasad Patel was with us today. He is from Carolina Cardiology Associates, and of course it is American Heart Month, and we've been talking about a myriad of things. Doctor, the future is now as far as technology and treatment and all the things that we can now do that, well, my father couldn't or my mother couldn't.
Yes, great. Let's touch on that a bit, because technology is healthcare, right? We always evolve in technology, whether it's iPhones or whether it's your healthcare issues. And so far, we talked a little bit about the different technologies that include stents, pacemaker, things like that. But future medicine is beyond these procedures or hardware, right? So virtual healthcare, remote patient monitoring. So how can we provide more committed care away? So when, for example, you may come see us every 6 months, several of my patients come see me every 6 months or 4 months, depending on how stable they're in their healthcare. But you know, our existence is on daily basis, weekly basis. So we are in healthcare industry focusing on how we can monitor patients, how we can provide care at home. So the focus from office and hospital shifting to home. So we now have commitment, especially after COVID, you know, centers of medical services have proactively taken the approach of providing remote patient monitoring. So blood pressure machines that use wireless technology to provide information to the doctor's offices when things are not right, we can make interventions by having that information without having a patient to come in at home. You mentioned you have a pacemaker technology. We can monitor pacemakers remotely from home with devices. So if you fall out of certain parameters, we get alerts and we can take care of it instead of waiting for 4 months, 6 months.
That's incredible.
And you know, in the future, we are focusing on care at home. So how do you provide care at home in between, such as if you had a bypass or a major operation and you have difficulty getting to our cardiac rehab facilities, then we are actively working, and also payers are working, including CMS and others, on doing cardiac rehab at home. There is technology evolving where you have a little treadmill at home, a bicycle remote at home with a coach that walks you through the exercise services and does your sessions remotely. We have technology evolving where a critically ill patients they are managed in the hospital, once become a little bit stabilized, we can move them into a setting that is remote, but it's not an ICU, it's not a hospital, or it's not a step-down unit, and we can do ICU type of or a very complex care at home. That technology is already being existence. There is things like virtual ICUs. We are already trying to implement that in hospitals where a physician can be at one facility and then can have all the technology virtually to be able to see the patient, communicate with the local team there. So if you're in a community hospital, and we are in a big complex hospital, that you could have cameras, technologies now where if I have expertise at Piedmont, but that expertise doesn't exist in Chester, we can actually provide more complex care virtually. So future of medicine is just like anything else. We are going to do more than what we do at the hospital or in the office in between our visits, and we're excited about it.
It really should be, because it's incredible all that can be done. I mean, you just mentioned over the past 20 years the things that have come along, and less people are being opened up now, I guess, literally, physically, you know, for heart procedures and things of that nature, which is good news to those of us who have this on our minds.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we talk about this, this is a team approach, I always believe. You know, patients and doctors or providers, as far as facilities, need to work as a team. You know, if I have a patient who is excited about participating in their own health and awareness, then it's great. And if there are certain patients I need to get to that level with them, then it's great. But at the end of the day, healthcare is a team effort and team approach. Like we do it at the hospital, surgeons and cardiologists work together.
We'll make that the last word. Dr. Patel, it's a shame this is a 30-minute show, because I could have done another 30 with you easy. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's going to do it for our Straight Talk program, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Broadcasting live, as always, at Substation 2. On Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop, open 6 days a week from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., making those fresh subs and salads right before your very eyes. The magical way is slice, 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 slice,
garden, garden, garden. Garden. Garden.